Hello, welcome to the I Am The Code podcast. I'm your host, Mariam Sham. I hope you're doing very well. Thank you so much for being here. I am so grateful to have you on this podcast. You have no idea. You know, before I continue, I want to say something. You must hold on tight. Do not give up. Sometimes when things are hard, we tend to want to give up everything. I had a wonderful, but at the same time, challenging couple of weeks, really hard. And I just want to say this, that when you are feeling overwhelmed, please do not give up. That's the moment where you must carry on your mission and your vision. People may not know what you do behind the scenes, but you must continue. Because if you give up, you're actually starting from zero. Please carry on and do not give up. I really hope you enjoy this season. It's just starting. I am on episode 2 and my guest this week is absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for loving episode 1. Basetsana Kumalo is really amazing. So wise, so wise. I loved her episode and all the wisdom she shared with us. Continue listening to the I Am The Code podcast. I've lined up beautiful human beings, people with ideas, passion, determination. They are ready to improve the lives of others. And I call them people who are selfless. It's not about them. It is about the change they want to make in the world. They are extraordinary human beings who have heart. They are using their heart, their mind to make a difference. Please listen to them. And my guest this week is just one of them. He is just brilliant. His name is Mike Oyama. He's the founder and the CEO of Project Elemo. Mike was 13 years old when his life was turned upside down. His father's death really forced him to drop out of school and support his family, like many, many families in Kibera. While selling car parts, he saw a poster announcing auditions for the Kenya Performing Art Group. Without any experience at all, Mike, with his determination and passion, he was offered a place at the Nairobi Base School. You know, one of the things I've learned from Mike is that he is so wonderful and beautiful. He said something very profound when I met him. He said, everyone deserves the right to dance, the right to education, the right to love, the right to dignity, the right to water, sanitation, and the right to learn how to code. That was really beautiful. And, you know, he is using dance as a tool to fight poverty. When I saw his videos, young women and girls dancing ballet in a slum in Africa, I was so touched because I knew straight away that this gentleman is fixing the world. I really hope you enjoy my conversation with him because this guy is inspirational, beautiful, really, really great. And I hope that you guys can learn from him. But also maybe when you are in Kenya, go and see his project. Thank you so much for supporting I Am The Code. Thank you for supporting our mission. Thank you for being here, for loving us, for caring, for showing up, for donating, for doing anything you can to support our young women and girls. Like I always said, when you support I Am The Code, you're elevating young women and girls globally. So thank you so much, and I will see you on the other side. I'm with an amazing gentleman in his car in Kenya, right now in Kibera, where we are talking to each other. My hope is you will get to know him, get to know his project. He's an amazing guy. I met him a couple of months ago and I heard about his project. But before that, I was introduced to him by Peace Wing Japan, an organization working in Kenya to support UNHCR. And when they told me about Mike, I was so impressed by his determination, his passion, and all the stuff he wants to do for young women and girls in Kenya. So Mike, I want to welcome you on the I Am The Code podcast. And thank you so much for calling all the way in your car in Kenya.
Thank you so much for having me. This is actually a very quiet place I could find, but there's a lot of chaos going around. Also, like in Kibra at this point, there's a lot of tension around people because we have a lot of riots happening and some being planned for tomorrow. So there's a lot of instability within. But thank God we're still able to find some time to have this chat.
You know, why don't you tell the audience who you are? Because, you know, like I said, when I met you, I was so impressed. And I think you touched my heart by telling me how you started this project and you helping so many young women and girls and boys as well in Kibera, which is, you know, one of the largest slums in the country. Why don't you tell our audience who you are?
I'm Michael Maya, and I started off as a dancer, but now I'm a dance teacher. I'm based in Kibra. I'm the founder of Project Elimu, which is an after-school program for young people. And we work mainly on the areas of arts education, sports, and tech education with young people within Kibra. I'm very passionate about arts education in schools and giving young people access to alternative education, because I think there's been a very huge gap in terms of poverty eradication. We are facing a lot of challenges as all our schools are more focused on standardized testing and like giving people the tools they need to be who they are and what they want for their own future.
The theme of this season is who's fixing the world. I mean, if I had a list of people who are fixing the world, I will definitely add you on that. Why are you trying to use dance as a way of fixing the life of these boys and girls?
They say when there is war, you pick the next weapon besides you to be able to counter your enemies. And this point, our biggest enemy is poverty in Kibra. What I had around me is dance, the tool that was given to me, that was passed on to me. And I thought, how best can I use dance as a tool of education to try and transform my own community and try and give children hope through it? And it have proven to be a very big communication tool that we are using now in terms of redefining our own community and our destiny.
And how many students do you have?
So currently within our school, we have around 460 plus children. We run an open door policy where now, regardless of who you are, you're allowed to come in and join the dance class on that specific day. So we have around 460 plus children who join our programs on different levels. So we have around 200 of those who are actively involved with our dance program, and we have another 200 plus who are doing football. We are also doing skateboarding in Kibra, where now we have lots of young girls who are joining in who initially were not comfortable with dancing, but they find through skateboarding. So we have so many, and I always say, if you walk in Kibra now, every three children you will meet, two of them or one of them have been involved in Project Elimu in one way or the other.
Let me go back to your childhood a little bit. What motivates you? Why are you so passionate about this?
So basically, I was not a very lucky child growing up. I grew in the other side of the city called Eastlands. And my childhood was quite rough, as I was not able to access the opportunities I'm availing to young people at this point within our space. There are no spaces for arts education. There are no spaces for self-expression. And I was not an academic child. So basically, our schooling system dropped me. And I did not do so well with my primary school education, so I was not able to get a good high school to join in. And also back then, in early 2000, high school was quite expensive for my mother to afford. So I dropped out of school at a very early age and began working when I was 15 years to take care of my own siblings. But I always had a passion of arts and a passion of using myself as a tool to change whatever is in front of me. So luckily, I was privileged to join an audition by then called the Kenya Performing Arts Group. And it's when I realized I had the power and the will to dance and to study dance. Initially, I wanted to be an actor. And I studied dance. I was privileged to also travel to Europe. And I decided to come back home to our community and on what we are doing. So I didn't have an easy childhood. And that really prompted me to when I'm able to teach, I want something that is completely out of the context of our normal schooling system. I saw a lot of crime around me growing up. We were young and being used also, for instance, in primary school as shelter for criminals who were hiding their weapons, because the only places they could hide them is schools. And we were like used to smuggle weapons and to smuggle stuff across the community because nobody could suspect that we are carrying stuff. But I'm very grateful that now I'm able to use my past to transform our future generation and our young people.
You are living in Kenya, in Kibera. You know, you made a decision to help young boys and girls in that place. What are the challenges and opportunities you see right now?
So actually, I'm so privileged because I was able to make a source of income and be a bit average in my income. And so I moved out. I don't stay in Kibra. But for myself and for the young people, I see a lot of opportunities coming their way. Because, for instance, there is a big global movement when it comes to like education, like what you are doing with I Am The Code, which also, again, is now connecting the universe together, you know, like giving equal opportunities to children regardless of their demographics. And I find that so special and important. And what we are still missing is the avenues where young people can actually access these opportunities. But now there are more equal learning opportunities in tech, for instance, that are being availed. And it doesn't matter where you're coming from. If you're building an app in Kibra and somebody's building it in London, it does not matter. It is what it is. If it is the final product, is what people will judge you with and not where you're coming from. Unlike some years ago, where you're coming from plays a huge role in terms of how your future will look like. So I'm very optimistic that the future looks really bright because there are more and more opportunities coming in and more free learning platforms for young people and more free learning spaces that they can easily access and use that to change whatever challenge they're facing in front of them.
I also know that you feed the children. You really work so hard during COVID-19. Maybe the world don't know about this. But, you know, if you're thinking about it now, how can people help you listening to your podcast and looking at you for the first time and knowing that there's somebody out there like you in Kibera helping so many boys and girls? What can we do to support you?
Of course, running whatever we are running is really difficult because it needs a lot of financial support and also various types of support within our community. We run a crowdfunding through Global Giving, where we call it supporting our children who are coming in for the dance classes. You know, with the high cost of living at this particular time, it's very difficult for a child to access, for instance, 2 meals a day. And so we are making it possible for children who are joining our programs to be able to access at least 2 meals a day. And even if they get to miss a meal at home, they'll be able to at least have their nutrition level still steady. I always also believe it's very difficult to study or to change whatever you want to change around you on an empty stomach. So that's why we start first of all with let's make our stomachs full, then we get ourselves to work. So when they dance, they are much more creative and much more eager to be able to change things. You know, COVID really caused havoc in Kibra in terms of income for our parents. Majority of our parents all lost their jobs because most of them work on middle-class people's houses. So when these people lost their jobs or were not able to work anymore, most of our parents were not able to get even cleaning jobs in houses. So everybody was stuck. But we did take that as a challenge within our school. And I mobilized some of my students and we were trying to fundraise online, teaching dance classes online and offering food support to the most disadvantaged, like disabled people and sick people within the community to get access to food. We were feeding almost 500 plus households with food stuff that locally sourced within Kibra for a whole month. And we were doing it every month for a whole year. So I'm always very grateful to my young students who really saw it in themselves to bring themselves forth to change their own space.
So many people are listening to yourself on this podcast. How can we get people to know? How can we support them so they can go out there also to start fixing issues like poverty, girls' education, the one you are doing right now, feeding people? Because you are just one man, right? But you have an amazing team.
I think, first of all, being easy on our minds, in access to education is human rights. Everybody deserves to have access to being part of a school or being part of an education system. It's just reaching out and seeing how best you could support. Mainly is more on grassroots organizations like ours, like what we are doing, because we don't tend to get a lot of attention globally because we don't actually go beyond Kibra, but we try to do our work within. So it's more on people who can hear us to also now look for us online. We also try to be available on various social media platforms. And it's also basing it on trust. You know, we run our foundation and our organization not because we want to enrich ourselves. We run it because there is the need from our own young people and our students. And I'm very happy that slowly we are passing the same knowledge to our young people. So when they understand, like they want to do the same work that we are doing, they approach it with the aspect of changing our community and not of enriching themselves. So we're very open. We're on social media platforms as Project Elimu, and can also Google my name as Mike Wamaya. You'll see so much of our work that we are doing. We are also privileged that a lot of media attention that do come to our space, not only because of how poor people are within our community, but how beautiful our young girls are in terms of dancing, in terms of doing whatever they are doing, in terms of the innovations that they are setting up.
What I like about your bio and all you do, you talk about human potential and creativity. Why is it so important to focus on the human potential and creativity?
When we have platform to express our creativityness, it gives us access to transforming our community regardless of the challenges that we are facing. You see, initially, we used to have everything designed and brought to us. Everything is like, for instance, even our dance routines, somebody would choreograph somewhere and would bring it. But if we let our people take charge, if we let the students themselves be the drivers of the challenges that they are facing, we find long-lasting solutions. And like when we are told how we need to transform whatever we have, it becomes a bit difficult because the solution is not original and it's not locally owned. So, but when we trigger creativity amongst the young people in finding solutions to the challenges they face, it becomes a long-lasting solution. And to me, for instance, our dance school, I built it together with the team. We were not having access to a dance floor. We designed a dance floor within our own community. And now if you come and ask us, we can build a dance floor anywhere around the world, regardless of the materials that we will find. And the person who are helping me build it, some of our parents, before that, they didn't know that they are capable of doing it. But now they can now add it onto their CVs or onto their career bios that, hey, I can also build a dance floor. And it starts from those small things and trust in them that they're able to do it. And we do it and we take good care of it.
You know, I love our partnership together. I have so much admiration for you. You have no idea. That's why I wanted to have you on this podcast and just make sure the world hear from you. Why it is so important to partner with an organization like I Am The Code and teaching girls how to code? I know during COVID you had some computers. What can we do more for you technology-wise?
I think it's access to gadgets that enable learning. You know, still the challenge we face, you'd find like a computer would be used with like 6 children at a go. So it becomes very difficult. The process is very slow. So access to more gadgets and access to more content would be really good to enable our young people change their own community, and it would also support more women to get into tech and build the confidence in themselves, because we are still fighting a lot of norms and myths around women and work and women and empowerment, where still women are looked up like you have to just stay at home and either prepare yourself to be a wife or you just have to take care of children. But now if we give them gadgets at a very early age and they start learning coding, for instance, at a very early age, it becomes normal. And it becomes equally important to them as how it is to the male counterparts. I'm visioning a point where we'll have like young girls in Kibra, you know, designing softwares and designing like mobile applications that would favor our own people, and not having young people like they have to bring water before they can go for dance classes. But they'll be treated equally as their male counterparts.
Who is your mentor? Who's supporting you personally?
So I have so many mentors. The good thing is I'm able to reach out to so many people and ask for help. And I think that's a very powerful tool I learned when I was growing up and really struggling in life. It's not a crime to ask for help, and it's not a crime to speak out if you have a problem or a challenge. I look up to so many people. Of course, I look up to you with I Am The Code and what you've been able to achieve as an individual. And also your story. I listened to your TED Talk. I saw it on YouTube. And I find it so inspiring. I play it for my students also to know that it's actually possible. There are so many people I look up to. I have friends here in Kenya that, I can't mention everyone because it's endless. But I am privileged that I have people that I can call when I'm down, and they'll be able to re-energize me, and I'll be able to get onto the path again into transforming our own community. And also I get inspired so much by my students who, despite lack of access to opportunities and tools for learning, they still have the capabilities of smiling, you know. When my student came and was like, yeah, we want to do point. We watched a very beautiful ballet at the National Theater and everybody's on point. And they're like, but we can do it. But the problem is we didn't have access to point shows. They're like, what if we can make our own point shows? And I like that type of challenge because it triggers a lot in me because it makes my adrenaline run really high. And I'm like, I want to build those. And they are very patient also, regardless of what we are going through and the challenges we go through. We would have food on one week and the other week we don't have food. And everybody will still afford a smile and everybody will still afford to be happy and to show up for the dance classes and activities. So I get so inspired with them and just seeing how despite, you know, a girl would bring her little sibling because she's been asked to babysit at home and she would refuse and say, I will bring my little sister and they would sit next to our dancing studio and I would dance while my little sister is watching me. I think that's so inspiring.
It is beautiful. You and I are both Africans. We had challenging childhoods and we are trying to fix things that, you know, I was not fixed when we were growing up. If you have one advice to our fellow Africans, what would that be?
I always say change is within us. It's us to change us. It starts with us, then it spreads out. And we are like flowers, you know, we glow. And there are times that we are down, but there are times that we really sprout and really make the whole universe change. Challenges are always by the moment. It doesn't matter what you have around you, whatever you pick in front of you, that's the tool that we're going to use to change our own past and to change our own communities. Nobody's going to come in and change whatever challenge we are going through within our community. We have to do it ourselves. And it starts with the small things that we are doing. I might be doing it with dance. Somebody else is doing it with gymnastics or acrobatics or music or tech, for instance. We are all changing it in small ways that we can. And when we combine all these small things, it's like a huge, big puzzle. And then we realize we've actually conquered the biggest enemy, which is poverty.
Do you think we can fix the world?
Yes, we are fixing the world in different small ways. The world is fixable. More and more young people are growing up, becoming more aware of the environment, becoming more aware of healthy eating, becoming more aware of empathy and kindness. And it's those tiny gritty things that will eventually change the world.
Well, you know, Mike, I am so happy that you are on this podcast because the world will hear you from the first time, our audience, the World Economic Forum, every single person. So I want to thank you for fixing the world. If you have shoes for ballet, please help Mike. Anything else you want to add?
At this point, I'm really grateful for this opportunity. And we have our website, the www.projectelimu.org. And we are always open for people coming in assisting us and in working with us. We have volunteers from around the world. Our programs depend on funding and we are collecting that through Global Giving, which is the Global Giving campaign. We have one online and can also organize a marathon on our behalf. If you reach out to us via email, we have all the materials you'd need for fundraising. I'm also always very passionate about connecting children. So if there's a teacher who is willing to connect his children with us, you're more than welcome to reach out on LinkedIn or on Facebook. We can most definitely connect and let the children connect and meet and interact.
I was going to ask you before you go, what are you really proud of?
I'm very proud of how slowly our community is changing. I'm very proud of how initially when we started using dance within our community, it was initially linked to prostitution, to crime. We had a huge resistance from people. But slowly people have seen the benefits of it. Like we have a student now who used to be my former student. She's now studying at the English National Ballet. We have a student who's been also accepted at the University of North Carolina and in the U.S., we also have four other students who are traveling to America for dance classes. And I have a group of students, 17 of them, at the University of Nairobi studying various things. So we are just doing it slowly and slowly. The community have seen that we are doing it and it all starts with dance. So we are strongly, our community have really embraced our work and they fully support us. We don't perform in big theaters. We perform in Kibra. So for those people who always want to watch our shows, we always organize shows 3 times a year, and people come to Kibra and they can watch beautiful dance performances, contemporary ballet, and some African dance within our own community.
So you are really proud of your girls?
I'm very proud. I'm very proud. Yeah. It gives me a lot of joy.
Do you think they're going to go and fix the world after?
I think they will, or they're already doing it in their small ways. I'm not able to do our social media now. They take over. Slowly, they're taking over my dance classes. They're also doing a lot of talks around sexual reproductive health and rights. And they're also having group discussions with children who initially thought they were not able to make it in life. They're encouraging them and supporting them. So I know they are doing it in their own small ways. And until they finish school, then they're going to take like full responsibilities of transforming our community by themselves.
Well, I am personally very proud of you, and we are so honored to have you. Thank you for everything you do. My hope is that everyone will go on your website. They will donate. They will listen to you. We're going to get you to the global platform. So that's my hope with this podcast. Mike, thank you so much for coming on the I Am The Code podcast. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me.
I don't know you, but I love the conversation. What an inspirational man. He is so kind, determined to change the life of those young women and girls, of course, and boys as well. He's using the power of dance to fix the world. That's what is Mike doing today in Kenya. I've learned so much from him, but my learning this week is this. You must build your tribe, people you can trust. Trust is a currency. You must learn how to give trust and how to be trustworthy. People must trust that you are reliable and they can count on you. You must trust that you have a vision and a mission. And do not let anyone deter you from what you have to do in life, because you have a calling. To fix the world, it takes courage. It takes commitment. It takes love, determination, empathy, compassion, and kindness. You must go out there and change the world. If you have time this week, this Easter break, please go out there to check the I Am The Code digital platform. We have over 25,000 courses all across I Am The Code that you can use to improve yourself, to upskill yourself, and to get dignity and pride, have a job for yourself, help your community, and support yourself above all. You have been listening to the I Am The Code podcast. I'm your host, Mariam Jam. Thank you. What an honor to launch season 8. Who is fixing the world? I hope you can be inspired by my guests who are fixing the world in their little ways. We are a very small team at I Am The Code. Remember that we are here so dedicated to making the world a better place by creating inspiring content for people who want to do better and be better. As Maya Angelou always told us, when you know better, you do better. Go out there and learn in your own way how to fix the world. The world needs you, and the world needs your commitment, your love, your compassion, and above all, the world needs you to take action so we can have a better society. And young women and girls growing across the world knows that you are there to help them. Go out there and fix the world. Thank you, and have a lovely Friday, and happy Easter to all of you listening to this podcast. Thank you, and goodbye.